Carolina Public Humanities is responsible for putting on a lot of these events. Humanities.unc.edu is their website. Joined on the phone by Max Orr, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities and is joining us from just a little ways away from the studio, but still by phone. Max, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's one of the joys of living in the only house in Chapel Hill that doesn't give cell reception. I get to drive down right outside your window where I can almost see you, Aaron. Soon enough, we'll be together in the flesh again, but we're all waiting, and I hope you're holding up all right.
Yeah, I am. I hope you are, too, and hopefully in just a couple of weeks or so, we'll be able to see each other in person again, because the phone interviews are fine. I like doing the phone interviews, but I much prefer having people, like, in the studio in person. It's just so much nicer that way, right?
People have no idea how much eye contact there is and how much it affects the entire interview process, right?
It really does. So give us a sense of what's going on this summer. Obviously, graduation day was yesterday for UNC, very different this year from usual, but now we're moving into the summer. What's on tap?
Well, we have, you know, of course, summer school is starting up again, and it'll, of course, be all online. As you know, many of us are still in a holding pattern here at the university trying to, we're waiting till the end of May to get a sense of what may be available for the students next semester. And, of course, here at Carolina Public Humanities, you know, we're kind of working along the same guidelines with that extra sizzle about, you know, our demographic and the people that come to our programs. We have to be extra careful about. So we're just like everybody kind of in this limbo trying to figure out what it's going to look like and how we're going to do it. We are, of course, not stopping with online projects, and we are planning a fall semester as though it was going to happen. But Aaron, I tell you, we have to be creative and find if we're going to have to find creative ways to do sort of hybrid classes. I assume there's going to be the same sort of adjustments needed for our public programs. And so there's a lot of stuff on our plate that we're thinking about. Even though we can't do programs, we can be working and try to figure out how we're going to do programs in the fall. So
are you planning for like a particular program that you're planning? Are you planning it two different ways right now, as if it's going to be in person and then the plan B if it has to be online?
I think what you do is you sort of cement the first idea, right? You get a place and a venue, and then you sort of have to handle whatever the stipulations are from all of the different jurisdictions that we need to be listening to about what kind of guidelines we can establish for that public place. But I think because we're already working with this online format, and I'll talk a little bit about some new online things we're doing, we're going to have that ability to say we might not be able to put more than 40% of the people that normally would want to come to our program in there. So can we provide a hybrid model that is a high enough quality for them, that it has enough engagement and interaction for them? And I think we're getting close with the online world, but there's so much to figure out, you know?
Yeah, speaking with Max Orr, Carolina Public Humanities can be found online at humanities.unc.edu. And Max, you mentioned it. There's a new online series that you're going to be launching this summer, right? What's it on?
Yeah, well, Aaron, I always bring you things related to the date. And one of the first things I do is I mention to you various people that were born on today. And I'll just let you know, Irving Berlin, Salvador Dali, and Cam Newton all share a birthday, May 11th. Sure, you always associate those three together in your mind. So what we were thinking was, we're all isolated from each other. We're not going out and meeting people at parties and whatnot. So I thought, what if biography, which I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the limitations and strengths of biography as a means of analysis in general, but I do like the way that biography will get us, introducing us to new people. It's the type of topic or the type of approach to a topic that I don't think takes a tremendous amount of effort for an informal conversation. I'm not denying the amount of effort that goes into writing a biography, but introducing someone in a half an hour format to a new person, be they a historical figure they might know, be it someone completely, obscure that a faculty person is working with. That's what we're going to be working on with the new series, and you can help us with the name, but the working title so far is Lunch with Friends and Strangers.
I like that. That's cool. Yeah. So, yeah, when's it going to launch?
Well, we're going to launch it right after Memorial Day. I'm targeting the Wednesday after Memorial Day. I'm hoping to do at least three a week, so probably on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday format at 12 o'clock. So we do hope people come and, grab a lunch and bring it to your living room. or wherever it is that you're going to watch the show. And it'll be an interview format with faculty from a variety of different disciplines. And what I've done is just put a general call out to faculty to say, is there somebody we should know about? Is there somebody we know about who we might want to know more about? So, and I'm getting some, I've got a lot of options on the table, and I'm hoping to put together a great roster, at least have a couple weeks set, maybe do it in batches like that. And again, a shorter form program, that's going to be during lunchtime, about a half an hour to 40 minutes tops. And hopefully this will be the type of program that people are interested in, you know, investing a little bit of time in.
So
you know, there's a lot of competition.
I'm sure. So who are some of the people, or who are some of the biographical figures that you're getting responses about?
Well, I've got, I'm very interested in Don Raleigh is doing a new work on Leonid Brezhnev, who is, you know, a figure we can all picture as sort of like the archetypal Soviet figure. And Don Raleigh, professor, he's soon to be emeritus professor of Russian history, is working on the first really scholarly academic biography of Leonid Brezhnev. And he's unearthing all sorts of really interesting facts about him, interesting perspectives that we might not have appreciated. So people like Leonid Brezhnev would be what you might call the recognizable. People like, for example, I can't promise this, but I'm hoping to get Clyde Warrior to have Dan Cobb come and talk about Clyde Warrior, a Native American activist from the 1960s, who's working on contextualizing Clyde Warrior within the decolonization movements of the 1960s, as well as the sort of Native American rights movements. Those are just sort of two examples, high and low, but we're also talking about musicians. We're talking about artists, hopefully getting some artists in the mix as well. And so I've got a lot of feelers out there, like everything in Carolina Public Humanities, everything sort of floats up into the air till we pull it all down. But we will definitely be starting on May 27th, and I have a few options to go with. I would like to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
Yeah, what I would like to know, I mean, because biography seems to be, if you're interviewing someone and you haven't met them before, biography seems to be sort of the go-to way of sort of getting to know somebody. And I'm just wondering what you think about when you're interviewing, how you approach getting to know someone as well as contextualizing someone.
So when I'm doing an interview, and it's someone that either I'm not familiar with or I know listeners aren't familiar with, it's usually like very rarely am I interviewing somebody about themselves, right? I'm interviewing them because mm-hmm. they're involved with some organization or some event that's happening, or they're an expert on such and such an issue, and that's why I'm interviewing them. And the only, in that particular context, the reason to get into biographical details at all is just to personalize it a little bit. Like, oh, you're one mm-hmm. of the founders of Porch, for instance, speaking with Debbie Horwitz last week. Like, what is your background? What got you to the point where you were sitting around the kitchen table one afternoon with a couple of friends and the three or four of you decided, let's start this? Like, what brought you to that particular point? And getting them to talk about that is a way to personalize the larger issue and maybe make us care more about it as well. And I guess if that's the approach into biography, like I don't necessarily care about this particular figure, but I care mm-hmm. about the issue that they're associated with. In the case of Clyde Warrior, like don't know who that is, but I know about the Native American rights movement, especially in the 60s and the 70s. If I'm interested in that, then I might be, or if I'm getting interested in that, I might be more interested if I hear his background or what got him into it in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, about biography is that there tends to be, I remember when I was coming down, and I won't name the school or the person who said to me, when I was thinking of entering graduate school, I was very interested in a historical figure by the name of Abbé Grégoire, mm-hmm. fascinating figure from the French Revolution. Just as a little tidbit, two little facts about him. All through the French Revolution, he sat in the revolutionary, you know, chambers in the assembly in his priest's outfit and never left it. And which is, if you know anything about the French Revolution, is a pretty daring stance.
That's a daring move, yeah.
And the other thing is that although we all know that the word vandalism comes from the Vandals, the Germanic tribe that ran through Europe, It was not coined as a word until Abbé Grégoire did so in the French Revolution. Mm. So two tidbits, and that's an aside, but my point about bringing him up is I really wanted to study him, and I was told that biography is not something that serious historians really do. Maybe they do it when they become emeritus, like Don Raleigh, when they've amassed a whole lot of work. And I think one of the things about one of the tensions is that biography seems to essentialize historical movements and historical trends within one person, and that nothing is really ever that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be playing with this tension, certainly, trying to understand context as well as the importance of their personal stories. And I think there's value in it, because whether professional historians are interested or not, in it or not, I do believe that the public is interested in meeting new people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking with Max Orr again, humanities.unc.edu is the website for Carolina Public Humanities. They'll have more on the website about this series coming up later on. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because we were talking earlier about, oh, we'll talk about biographies. I started thinking about what are my favorite biographies, like what are the ones that I have read that really stood out to me. And the one that really jumped out at me immediately when I was thinking about that question is a book called Walt Whitman's America by David Reynolds, which is ostensibly a biography of Walt Whitman, that spends very little time actually talking about Walt Whitman and his life and what happened to him, and spends the vast majority of time talking about the social context, different movements, whether it's intellectual traditions that he got involved in, transcendentalism, just all kinds of different things. It was a biography of the world around Walt Whitman, in which you every so often got a glimpse of this guy. And the first time I read it, I was like, this is a weird biography, because it spends very little time talking about the actual figure. It's a fantastic book, because when you're done reading it, you really do get a sense not just of who this person is and who he was, but also how he fits into the world around him and why it's all important.
Yeah, there's always that reflexivity between, you know, society is the, you know, is the collection of everybody and all of the various attributes that they're putting into the zeitgeist or the public sphere. But of course, the individual also is taking in all of these things and reacting to them, sometimes adopting them, responding to them. And so you're absolutely right. That book was it really was a biography of America.
Yep.
But the biography of America through the perspective of what Walt Whitman, you know, where what is Walt Whitman responding to, bouncing off of, and whatnot, as a member of that America. And I think we're going to find that in these biographies. And I don't know, sometimes, you know, like everything, where does the conversation lead us? We might get into the minutiae of a person's character where we lose sight of that. And that is of interest as well, isn't it? You know, sometimes looking deeply at someone and removing them from their context and trying to get a sense about what motivates this person is valuable and interesting in and of itself as well. So I'm looking forward to see where the conversations will go.
Awesome. And again, speaking with Max Orr, so as we start to wrap up this conversation, I mentioned my favorite biography. What's yours?
Oh, there's so many to mention. I'm going to say, I'm going to cheat a little bit, because I find the notion of prosopography, and this is sort of in between prosopography, which is where you collect like 100 biographies of a group of people and then sort of make a statement about what those people were like, right? That's one interesting angle on biography, and there are plenty of those like that. And of course, the individual biographies, and a book that I'm thinking of, Aaron, is in between two, and it's a book by R.R. Palmer called 12 Who Ruled, and it's 12 biographies of the 12 leaders of the Committee of Public Safety during the French Revolution. So Robespierre, Saint-Just, Carnot, all of these people. And it is just a beautifully written. Each chapter takes on a different person, the member of the committee, and does just what you say, just contextualizes them deeply. And each chapter, we learn like a new aspect about the religious policy of the revolution or the military policy or about the tensions between the Girondins and the Jacobins, but just through one of these people, as well as learning about their past. So that's just a really powerful book. R.R. Palmer, written in 1948, and still I recommend it all the time.
That's awesome. And just sort of thinking about that, it is really fascinating, and there's so many different approaches that you can take if you're writing or reading a biography or interpreting a person's life, because on the one hand, we are a product of the context in which we grew up. Like, we're shaped by the world around us, but we also play our part in shaping the world around us. So you mentioned that about the French Revolution. I was thinking about all the biographies that I've read about American founding figures in the same general period, and the best ones are the ones that A, contextualize each of those individual figures in the world that they lived in. Like, what was it about the world that James Madison grew up in that made him who he was and led him to think and write and act the way that he did? And the thinking and the writing and actions are often at odds with each other, and what's the deal with that? And then at the same time, what is it about this particular person that enabled him to shape the world and this new country the way that he did? Like, the world around James Madison created who he was, but at the same time, we would be a different country today if it weren't for that particular person being in that particular place at that particular time and having the specific relationships that he had with Jefferson and Washington and all of those things work together.
I'm sure that in this these conversations that we're going to have about these various figures, this idea of, you know, what is the personal and what is the context and cultural is going to be sort of like the returning theme that we'll come back to over and over again, because I do think that is the essence of biography. Your point exactly. You know, there are people who steer, move things along, but they're set up by all sorts of other people and other contexts as well before they make those, you know, momentous decisions or give us those unique ideas.
We'll have to wrap it up there. But again, humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there for more on Carolina Public Humanities. Look on the website soon for information about the as yet unnamed series. Haven't finalized the name yet.
Well, I like it. I'm getting really close. Lunch with friends who would be our faculty and, of course, our participants. And strangers, hopefully, will be the
good title.
The people we're talking about.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Again, humanities.unc.edu for more on all of that. Max Orr, as always, thank you so much.
Great, thank you. Remember, happy hour on Thursdays, folks, 6 o'clock.